Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a special Thursday night edition of Matt Chat on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Ace Diamond, and we are back after a brief hiatus. And we're here to talk about WrestleMania week. And what a weekend it was. It started off Friday night with the Hall of Fame ceremony, which I'm going to cover briefly. Of course, during the Hall of Fame ceremony, you had guys like the Dudleys. Kid Rock was the celebrity inductee. Mark Henry. Hillbilly Jim. Ivory was the female inductee. And of course, the headliner of the week, of the evening, was Goldberg. And you know, I noticed something starting right off the bat with the Dudleys, who were the first inductees this year. A lot of people, I want to say 5 or 6 people who got inducted, all mentioned a name who has been kind of a four-letter word, so to speak, as far as WWE is concerned, and that's Hulk Hogan. And you know, growing up, I was a Hulk Hogan fan. I was a Hulk Hogan fan probably until I was about 25 years old and realized he wasn't that great of a wrestler. Although if you watch some of his stuff in Japan, he was actually better than he ever was in the United States. And if you read the Rolling Stone interview and parts of his book, actually, you'll find out he wasn't that great of a person. But you know, for what he did for professional wrestling, everybody should be eternally grateful that we had a guy like Hulk Hogan. And for that, I will always be thankful, and I hope he is able to come back someday. Honestly, I really am. I really do hope he is able to come back. But the speech that, to me, stole the show, and I'm not going to lie, got me emotional more than any of the others, because there was some emotion in all of the speeches from me, except for one. Dana Warrior. I cannot stand that lady. I think she is self-serving. And I'm not a fan of hers. I think the award she gives out is a great thing, but I think she is more self-serving than anything. But the one speech that really tugged at my heartstrings, and it was just a certain section of the speech, was that of Mark Henry, who asked the camera to zoom in so he could speak directly to the widow of Owen Hart, and asked her to please let Owen go in the Hall of Fame, echoing sentiments of fans and wrestlers alike around the world. It is time to put the ugliness behind us. It is time for Owen Hart take his rightful place in the WWE Hall of Fame. Now on to NXT TakeOver. NXT TakeOver kicked off with the North American Championship ladder match. A six-man ladder match featuring Ricochet, EC3, Adam Cole, The Velveteen Dream, Killian Dane, and Lars Sullivan. Now, being that it was a ladder match, you would think Ricochet, being the smallest of the competitors, would have a distinct advantage. And Lars Sullivan and Killian Dane would have a distinct disadvantage, being that they are much larger individuals, and it is much more difficult for a larger individual to climb a ladder. Although Kane has won a Money in the Bank ladder match, so the winner of that ladder match ended up being Adam Cole, who's a smaller guy. He's probably average size for a professional wrestler, but you know, he's around 6'2", maybe 210 pounds. He won what was a very physical, very hard-hitting ladder match. And it was, most people call it match of the night. I won't go that far. I actually give it the second best match of the night spot, and I'll get to my pick for match of the night later. I'm going to go in order. But to me, that was the second best match of the night. Then you had the NXT Women's Championship, which saw Ember Moon defending the NXT Women's Championship against the Queen of Spades, Shayna Baszler. Again, a very, very physical match. Probably one of the most physical matches I've seen. One of the most physical women's matches I've seen that did not include Nia Jax or Asuka. The match was won by Shayna Baszler, who caused Ember Moon not to tap out, but to pass out to her finisher, which off the top of my head, I can't remember what it's called. And then the next match was the NXT Tag Team Championship and the finals of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. The match ended up being a triple threat match. You had Undisputed Era, which was Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. Adam Cole pulling double duty because of Bobby Fish's knee injury. versus The Authors of Pain versus the upstart team of Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne, who's personally one of my favorite wrestlers in NXT, and the United Kingdom division. That match, again, very physical. A lot of double team moves. At the very beginning, Adam Cole was taken out, and you would have thought, hey, they have no chance of winning. But at the very end, as Pete Dunne was going for the pin on Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong showed his true colors. Tag team partner, allowing Kyle O'Reilly to pick up the pinfall. And thus, Roderick Strong has now joined the Undisputed Era, making it a faction of four men. And when Bobby Fish's leg is completely healed, and even now, I'd have to say that the Undisputed Era is probably one of the strongest forces in NXT right now. Next, we had the semi-main event, which was the NXT Championship. Andrade Cien Almas defending against Aleister Black. Once again, very physical match, as every match was at TakeOver. Very technical match. And despite the interference of Zelina Vega, Aleister Black was able to overcome the odds and defeat Andrade Cien Almas and capture the NXT Heavyweight Championship. It'll be interesting to see with the Superstar Shakeup next week, which, if I have time, I'll talk about that in a little bit, if Andrade Cien Almas stays in NXT or if he goes on to Raw or SmackDown. Then we had the main event of the evening, an unsanctioned match between Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, the Sicilian Psycho. The most physical match of the evening by far. The most brutal match I have seen in NXT ever. You had a sunset flip. Well, a powerbomb that was attempted backdrop turned into a powerbomb onto the exposed concrete by Johnny Gargano to Tommaso Ciampa. You had a crutch that was stolen from a fan in the audience that was used by both men. And ultimately, you had Johnny Gargano forcing Tommaso Ciampa to submit by applying an STF using Tommaso Ciampa's own knee brace that he had taken off to use as a weapon. And Johnny Gargano was granted his reinstatement to the NXT roster that he had lost several weeks prior. Overall, I give the NXT TakeOver card 4.75 stars because it, although it was not the best, or it was the best TakeOver I've ever seen, but there were some things that could have been done a lot better, although not much. Like I said, it's the best TakeOver I've ever seen, and I've seen them all. So, with that being said, we'll move on to WrestleMania. The WrestleMania kickoff show featured the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which was won by Matt Hardy with the assist going to Bray Wyatt. Now, it would seem that after their series of matches, which of course culminated in the Ultimate Deletion, or whatever you want to call it, Total Deletion, Ultimate Deletion, I forget which one it is, but it would seem that these two have formed an alliance, which, if you ask me, that is a dangerous, dangerous alliance for the WWE Universe, specifically for the Raw roster, possibly until the Superstar Shakeup. Then you had the Women's Battle Royal. Or no, I believe the Cruiserweight Championship was actually next. That match was won by Cedric Alexander. Of course, it was Cedric Alexander and Mustafa Ali, who are very good friends. It was a, what I would call a typical cruiserweight match. A lot of high flying, but also a lot of mat-based wrestling, which, to me, that's the best thing that that is. That's my personal favorite. I like mat-based wrestling. I don't mind a few high-flying moves every now and then, but I'm the type of guy who likes traditional mat-based action. It can be fast-paced, but I like the ground game. Then we had the Women's Battle Royal. The Women's Battle Royal was won, everybody thought, by Bayley. However, Naomi had not been eliminated, and she got into the ring and eliminated Bayley, therefore securing her match, or her win, in the first ever WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. And then the main show started. And the main show kicked off with what I personally think was the match of the night. The Intercontinental Championship triple threat match between the champion, The Miz, Finn Balor, and Seth Rollins. Now, it was a very good match. There was a lot of back and forth. And, of course, it was eventually won by Seth Rollins, the Kingslayer. That went into the SmackDown Women's Championship. Of course, that match saw the first ever Women's Royal Rumble winner and undefeated Asuka challenging the SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte. Now, this was a very good match. This was by far the best women's match of the night. And as Asuka said after the match was over, Charlotte was ready for Asuka. Charlotte has ended the undefeated streak and is still and walked out of WrestleMania still the SmackDown Women's Champion. The next match was the United States Championship match. Yes, there were three championship matches in a row to kick off WrestleMania. That match was a Fatal 4-Way, which featured Randy Orton defending the title against Bobby Roode, Rusev, and Jinder Mahal. Now, my personal opinion is Jinder Mahal should not even have been in the match. As much as I like him, neither should Rusev. And the result definitely should not have been what it was, because your winner and new United States champion is Jinder Mahal, and that irks me, because we saw Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal battle for the WWE Championship basically most of the late summer and into the fall last year. And that just, to me, that was a series of really boring matches. And now we're probably going to see Randy and Jinder battle for the United States Championship for just as long. And I'm sorry, but Jinder Mahal doesn't deserve that. Then we had the mixed tag team match, the first match on the main show that was not a title match. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, who had one of the coolest entrances. I'm not even going to lie. I think the motorcycle entrance was awesome. I think they should have saved that entrance for somebody else and let somebody else do that entrance, but that's neither here nor there. But Triple H and Stephanie McMahon took on Raw General Manager Kurt Angle and making her in-ring debut, Ronda Rousey. Now, I did not have a lot of faith in Ronda Rousey's abilities going into this match. She surprised the hell out of me. She actually carried Stephanie McMahon. And considering Stephanie is a former women's champion, although maybe she didn't deserve that title, that's saying a lot. And of course, Ronda and Kurt picked up the victory. Then back to title matches, although they were broken up a little bit from here on out. The SmackDown Tag Team Championship, the Usos defending against the New Day and the Bludgeon Brothers in a triple threat match. One of the most brutal matches on the main card, definitely physical. Saw, of course, the Bludgeon Brothers, who Harper and Rowan are probably not going to be giving up those titles for a while. There's no reason they should. There's really no team in there's no team on SmackDown that should be able to beat them right now. So I see the Bludgeon Brothers holding the SmackDown Live Tag Team titles for quite a while. And then the match that nobody knew whether it was going to take place or not. The Undertaker versus John Cena for a match that had 2 months of build, really. Yeah, probably 2 months of build, or at least a month. It was a 3.5 minute squash match, really. The Undertaker defeated John Cena completely cleanly. Didn't have to use any cheating, didn't have to any underhanded tactics. Both men kept it nice and clean. But the Undertaker was able to defeat John Cena in what I honestly hope is the Undertaker's last WrestleMania match. Let the man go out on top. Let him go out a winner at WrestleMania. And just let the dead man rest in peace. Then we had Shane and Daniel Bryan versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And of course, this match was to determine whether Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens get their jobs back on SmackDown Live. And this was the, I believe, the second longest match of the night. The longest match, of course, being the mixed tag between Triple H and Stephanie and Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey, which the Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan versus Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens match only seemed like the longest match of the night because it was Daniel Bryan's first match back after 3 years of being retired due to injury. Shane and Daniel Bryan picked up the win, which, to be honest, totally shocked me. I honestly thought Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were going to pick up the win, get their jobs back, and I'm still, as somebody who likes to analyze storylines and try to figure out where they're going, I have absolutely no idea where this storyline is going. I can honestly say I am completely puzzled on this one. The next match was the Raw Women's Championship. My girl, Nia Jax, versus Alexa Bliss with Mickey James in Alexa Bliss' corner. Although, from the get-go, as soon as Nia Jax came out, she rendered Mickey James completely useless by completely destroying her on the outside of the ring, which, in effect, really rendered Alexa Bliss completely useless because Alexa Bliss is basically one-third the size of Nia Jax. And Nia Jax became the new Raw Women's Champion, which, like I said, could not have been happier about that. Then we had what, to me, should have been the absolute runaway match of the night, WWE Championship match between AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. Any wrestling fan knows that these two have faced each other in Japan, have had outstanding matches, and this one was just good. And you know what, I'll take it a step farther and say it was very good. But it was not at the level that I would have expected from two world-class professional wrestlers like AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. AJ got the win. After the match, Nakamura presented the belt to AJ, got down on a knee, as a show of respect, you would think, and then delivered a low blow to AJ Styles. basically ensuring that that is a feud that is going to continue, which I'm perfectly okay with. Because, like I said, the match was actually very good, just not what I would have expected from those two. The next match, which was the comedy match of the night, the Raw Tag Team Championship. Braun Strowman and a fan from the audience named Nicholas, who, if you don't know by now, was actually the son of referee John Cone, who was the referee that bounced out of the ring when Braun Strowman suplexed Big Show and the ring exploded, and happened to be the referee during the Raw Tag Team Championship match. At WrestleMania. The kid was 10 years old, got tagged into the ring for maybe 30 seconds. He didn't touch anybody, nobody touched him, except for Braun Strowman, who tagged back in roughly 30 seconds after he tagged, and Braun Strowman single-handedly defeated the Bar to become the Raw Tag Team Champions. And then they forfeited the titles the very next night on Raw, which I'll get to in a little bit, because I am going to discuss Raw and SmackDown. And then we had the Universal Championship, the match that nobody wanted to happen. We had, earlier in the night, we had the match that nobody thought was going to happen, that being John Cena and The Undertaker, and then we had the match that nobody wanted to happen, the Universal Championship match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. By far, the most brutal match on the card. At the very end of the match, or not even at the end of the match, Roman Reigns was busted open by some sharp elbows by Brock, and after I don't know how many suplexes and I believe 6 F5s, Brock Lesnar retained the title, and later we found out that Brock Lesnar has apparently signed a new 2-year deal that is going to allow him to fight in UFC along with being WWE Universal Champion. Oh joy, a part-time champion for 2 more years. And yes, that was complete sarcasm. I can't stand Brock Lesnar. I won't say I wish he would take a long walk off of the short pier, but he needs to go away and leave WWE behind. How would I book WrestleMania better? Or how would I book the entire weekend better? Number one, as much as I hate to say this, Roman Reigns would be the Universal Champion. Finn Balor would be the Intercontinental Champion. The Bar would still be Tag Team Champions, or or Braun would have found himself a better opponent or a better partner. Undertaker versus John Cena would have gone 10 minutes. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens would have won their match. And basically, Charlotte would have lost the SmackDown Women's Championship to Asuka. And basically anybody other than Jinder Mahal would have won the United States Championship match. That is how I would have rebooked WrestleMania. Now on to the Monday Night Raw results. The opening match was a women's tag team match. Nia Jax and the main roster debut of Ember Moon took on Alexa Bliss and Mickey, with Nia Jax and Ember Moon winning that match when Ember Moon hit an eclipse on Alexa Bliss. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Ember Moon and Nia Jax, or Ember Moon and Alexa and Mickey and Nia Jax going from here on out. Then we had a segment where Braun Strowman and his tag team partner Nicholas relinquished the Raw tag team titles due to scheduling conflict for Nicholas, who is still in the fourth grade. And it was announced that there will be a four-team tournament. The two winning teams from this past Monday will face each other this coming Monday. The winner of that match will face the Bar, I believe the Greatest Royal Rumble, for the Raw Tag Team Championships. The first match in what they're calling the Tag Team Eliminator Tournament, the Revival versus the Club. And of course, that match was won by the Revival because, for some reason, the Club can't win a match to save their lives. And they won that match with a Shatter Machine to Carl Anderson, who seemingly takes every pin when they lose. The next match was Sasha Banks versus Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose wins when Sasha Banks was distracted by Bayley, who had inadvertently forearmed Sasha behind the referee's back. Furthering that storyline, which probably going to go until SummerSlam. The next match was the Authors of Pain versus Heath Slater and Rhino. Now, when the Authors of Pain came to the ring, they had their manager, Paul Ellering. They, of course, beat Slater and Rhino fairly easily. And when they left, they seemingly fired Paul Ellering as their manager. The second match in the Tag Team Eliminator saw Titus Worldwide versus Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt. Hardy and Wyatt won with a Sister Abigail into a Twist of Fate which to me, that is honestly a very, very good tag team combination move. The next match was Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. Winner stays on Raw. That match did not have a winner. Therefore, neither man wins. Neither man stays on Raw. Kurt Angle had the line of the night after this match. My tag team division is full. I hear TNA is hiring. When he said that, I absolutely lost it. And in the main event, The Miz and The Miztourage took on Balor, Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, and Jeff, and the returning Jeff Hardy in a six-man tag team match. That match was a very good six-man tag team match. At the end, Seth pinned Miz to win the match, and then afterwards, the team of Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, and Jeff Hardy took turns hitting their finishers on Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, seemingly getting rid of them, possibly, then moving on to bigger and better things, hopefully, for those two. Although they've never been more relevant than they are right now. And then we had SmackDown Live. Oh, and of course, on Monday night, Paige went from heel to face when she announced her retirement from in-ring competition due to a severe neck injury. And she got a standing ovation and a thank you Paige chant that I think was well deserved. She has done a lot for the women's division over her 4-year career. Which leads me to the way SmackDown kicked off. Paige was introduced as the new general manager by Shane McMahon. Paige subsequently, in her first act as general manager, makes Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles the main event for SmackDown. In the first of what I believe were two completely unnecessary matches, New Day versus the Usos for the number one contenders match to face the Bludgeon Brothers at a later date. The Usos picked up the win in what was another tag team classic between the New Day and the Usos. All their matches are spectacular. In a special grudge match, Naomi defeated Natalya with a split leg moonsault. Charlotte comes out, cuts a promo about her match with Asuka. The Iconics, as they are now being called, of course, the iconic duo in NXT, come out, attack Charlotte from both sides, basically, front and back, laying her out, which leads to Carmella coming out And in the shock of all shocks, Carmella successfully cashed in her Money in the Bank contract and is the new SmackDown Women's Champion. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one, to be honest. And then the second match to me, which was completely pointless, you had only because of the result. You had Rusev versus Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton, number one contenders match for the United States Championship to face Jinder Mahal at a later date. Randy Orton wins with an RKO on Bobby Roode. And in the main event, Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. A great match until Shinsuke Nakamura interferes, attacks Daniel Bryan, causing AJ Styles to be disqualified, then turns his attention to AJ Styles, attacks him, obviously furthering that feud and likely leading up to a match for the WWE Championship, probably at the Greatest Royal Rumble at the end of this month. Which, that's another thing I want to address. The Greatest Royal Rumble, you've got 50 men, no women on this card, which I'm not a fan of that at all. But it being in Saudi Arabia, I understand. In what was supposed to be a casket match between Rusev and The Undertaker, you now have Chris Jericho versus The Undertaker because of a tweet Lana sent out, apparently, stating that she did not want her husband in that match. So WWE apparently gave her what she wanted, and Rusev is no longer in that match, and it is now Chris Jericho versus The Undertaker in a casket match. The combined age of those two is approximately 101. So, yeah. Not a fan of that. But in the main event of the Greatest Royal Rumble, if the Greatest Royal Rumble match itself is not the main event, you will have Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship again. But this time it will be in a steel cage. I don't know about everybody else, but I am sick to death of seeing that match. And I'm afraid that we're going to see that match countless number of times in the next couple of years. But anyway, that's just one man's opinion. I'm about out of time. Tune in next week when my co-host, Miss Callie, will be joining me and we will be discussing the Northern Wrestling Federation's return to Fairfield. And hopefully sometime in the next few weeks, I will be having independent wrestling superstar Brian Pillman Jr. as a guest. So, all my fans, all my listeners, have a good night, everybody. Go watch wrestling.